Can you all hear me okay? No? Yes? Good. Sounds like I picked the wrong morning to come. Next week you've got bacon butties. But thank you. I'll have to put it in the microwave. It's great to be here. I hope you all had a good summer, been blessed and refreshed and ready to go again in the new term. I'm sure the kids are really excited about being back in school. Now my brother as a school teacher is really looking forward to that. But yeah, it's great to be given this series to look at. And you're going to be looking at overcoming life's challenges and the story of Joseph. It's a marvelous story. It's a story that has inspired many writers to do things. And it's going to be over the next 5 weeks. You're going to be looking at different aspects of Joseph's life and then how through Joseph we can learn to overcome life's obstacles, life's challenges. So this week we're going to be looking at overcoming treachery, and then the week after is overcoming disappointment, and then in week 3 overcoming temptation, and then week 4 overcoming success. And lastly, overcoming bitterness. So the theme is you're going to be looking at overcoming. And it's wonderful, isn't it, that Jesus Christ has promised to all of us who know him and love him that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, not just conquerors, more than. Like the car insurance, more than. We are more than in God. You know, we don't just meet the challenge, but with God, we more than overcome because we have a mighty God, don't we? And so, the life of Joseph, I've been thinking about this amazing life, this amazing story, Joseph. In fact, it's such an amazing adventure that there's been plays written about it, there's been DreamWorks film produced about it. There's been kids' stories. This life, you see, of Joseph, I think we can all relate to in some way or another. We can all see different parts of his life in our own. And maybe not the exact circumstances, but the way that he felt, the things that happened to him, the way that he was treated. Because God gives us all dreams of some kind. Maybe not actual literal dreams, but he gives us desires in our hearts that he has given us gifts and he's given us abilities to fulfill for his glory and for his kingdom to be extended. And I think we all can relate to Joseph in some way or another and see, you know, we learn a lot through Joseph that life is not all plain sailing, as they say. And that there are difficulties. And that there are things that we have to overcome. It's really important as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, that we recognize that through much tribulation, we will enter the kingdom of heaven. Through much toil and difficulty, through pain and through sorrow, because we live in a broken, fallen world. A world that throws its curveballs at us. We never quite know what's going to come next at times. And so I want us to be encouraged. To be encouraged through Joseph's life, because that's why it's in the book of God. Because God's word isn't just a story of long, long ago. God's word is for us today. God's word is to speak to us today. It's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. And God's word, friends, can encourage us and can help us, can comfort us, can instruct us and build us up. And so we find ourselves in chapter 37 with Joseph. Now, I won't read it all because it's quite a long chapter. But Joseph here is the son of Jacob. Now, Jacob had 12 sons. Not just 12 sons, he had 4 wives. And they had lots of kids from different parts of the family. So it wasn't your average family. It wasn't an easy family to grow up in, with one father. And all the sons seeking the father's approval and seeking his favor. And so Joseph grew up in a difficult family. Joseph came from Rachel. If you remember with Jacob, Rachel was the wife that he truly loved. And he was deceived by Laban, her father, he thought he was marrying Rachel when it was Leah that he was marrying. And then he had to work another 7 years and eventually marry the love of his life. And so he took special favor over Joseph, we're told. We are told that that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of the other sons. So there was favoritism. Joseph was 17 years old here, we read in verse 2, that Joseph was 17. And straight away, friends, we come to realize a very important thing. It's not good to have favorites. Because it doesn't do any favors to have a favorite. It doesn't do any favors to the one being favoritized. And it doesn't do any favors to those who are not. And so parents, it's important. I'm not a parent, so I can't speak with much experience. But it's important not to just love the good kids, but to love those who don't always listen to what you say. But we can bring it further, can't we? We can say to school teachers, if there's any teachers here, to show the same interest in love in the bad kids. Because sometimes maybe that's a reason they're bad. They're seeking attention. And as people in church family, it's easy, isn't it, to love those who support you, those who always come up to you and encourage you, those who say that they're praying for you. It's not so easy to love those who are a bit of a thorn in the flesh, that grate you up the wrong way, that don't always have encouraging words to tell you, that seem to be more critical than encouraging, or seem to notice your faults more than your good side. But in God's family, we're to love one another, aren't we? We're to love one another. And so there are lessons here in the life of Joseph that we need to take on board. We need to learn. In fact, my cousin is a pastor. He's been pastor for a couple of years now. And he said to me, one of the most difficult things he is finding being a pastor is to love all his flock that God has given him equally. He said, because when you know or you hear of people gossiping about you, he said, running your name down, he said, you've got to preach to them every Sunday with the same love that you do to those who you know are by your side. He said, because God loves them, you must love them. And he said, it's one of the hardest things is not to have favorites in a church. So that at 2 a.m. when the phone rings and it's that family that's been causing you nothing but problems, he said, you go knocking on their door and you're there to pray with them and you're there to support them. You see, that's true love, isn't it? In fact, it was said that the true mark of a man is shown when he shows love and kindness and compassion to those who don't show it to him. Jesus said, it's easy to do good to those that do good to you. But the true love of God, isn't it? The true love of Christ is shown to those who are not good to you. Being a Christian requires a cost, doesn't it? And to rise up to a challenge of being what God wants us to be. And Joseph here, as I was reading, we read of Joseph at 17 years old. And Joseph was very much a boy. He was a teenager, but in his attitudes and his ways, he was a boy. His behavior, really, as we're going on to see, produced betrayal. Now, God gave Joseph dreams. Amazing dreams. Incredible dreams. Was God wrong to give Joseph those dreams? No. Is God wrong to choose certain people to have special purposes in his kingdom? No, he's God. He will choose who he will choose. In Romans it says, he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. What is the clay to say to the potter? We can't tell him what he can and can't do. He's God. We just have to lovingly surrender and submit to his incredible, perfect ways. But he chose Joseph above all the other sons. But, friends, there's an important lesson here. God may grant special gifts and special callings and special purposes to certain people, but it's how we handle those gifts. It's how we bear the responsibility that God gives us that will show our true spiritual maturity. Because Joseph didn't keep his dreams to himself. As we read in verse 5, it says, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So they already hated him because he was wearing a multicolored coat, as I used to think it was called, a technicolor dream coat. Some of you would be like, what, technicolor? But he was favored by his father, and so already there's problems. But then he dreams these amazing dreams. And it says that he was gathering sheaves in the field, and he said, and his sheaf arose and stood upright, and all the others bowed down to him. And then his brother said, oh, shall you indeed reign over us? You can hear the sarcasm there. Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams. Now you think that he might have learnt that it didn't go down too well. But in verse 9 it says, and he dreamed another dream, and he told his brothers again. I've dreamed again, he said, and the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars have bowed down to me. He told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what's this dream that you have dreamed? Shall you and my mother and your brothers bow to you? Bow to the earth? And it says his brothers envied him, and his father observed his saying. There's an important lesson here, friends, that the wisdom comes when God gives wonderful words that you learn to keep to yourself. That's when true wisdom is shown. God may give you wonderful words in your life. Promises, purposes, callings, whatever it is that God has promised you. But the maturity is, how do you handle those things? Do you keep them in your heart? Or do you parade them before others? Or don't display dreams. Value visions, but don't vaunt them. God often will speak things into our lives that are yet to be. In some way or another, he might have spoken something into your life that is yet to be. But friends, I'd encourage you to do what we read of Mary in the New Testament. It says, when Jesus was in the temple and he said that he must be about his father's business, it said that Mary pondered those things in her heart. And the things that the angel told her about the son that was in her womb, Mary pondered the things in her heart. She kept them. Because friends, I can guarantee you that if God has given you a vision, God has given you a dream, God has given you a promise, it will come to pass. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to parade it. just hold it dear. Pray about it, but keep it between you and God. Because the thing is, when you parade special things that God has revealed to you, it can create jealousy and envy. And it can put too much self-importance on yourself. And actually, the thing about the dream and the purpose and the calling that we tend to forget is it's all about God's glory. That's what all these things are leading to, aren't they? That God may use us to mightily glorify his name. That's what it's all about, isn't it, on this earth? Glorifying God. Magnifying Jesus Christ. Displaying the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And so Joseph, unfortunately, was very much a boy when he was given these dreams. But for God to bring the dream to reality, he would need to make him a man. And so we read, the journey of maturity is often through much pain to produce God's purpose. And so Joseph would have to wait 12 years until he was 30 years old. And 30 is a significant age in the Bible. Joseph was 30 when he was brought into prominence. David was 30 when he finally got to the throne after running away all of those years from Saul. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was 30 when his ministry began. But we read that Joseph was going to be betrayed. Betrayed by his brothers. It says that in verse 17, Joseph went after his brothers and found them. And when they saw him afar, they conspired to slay him. They said, behold, this dreamer comes. And they wanted to do away with him. They wanted to kill him. And it was only the oldest brother, Reuben, that said, we can't do that. So let's just get rid of him. Imagine how it feels to be in Joseph's shoes. That all of your brothers can't stand you. He hasn't done any favours, mind, for helping that. But still, betrayal is a very painful thing. Betrayal, friends, can come in many forms. It might be in your workplace when people betray your trust. It might be when they connive and scheme to bring your downfall. When they talk behind your back. When they're nice to your face. It can come from family betraying you, giving you a word and yet going against it. Or it can literally be like Joseph. He was given over. He was betrayed by his brothers. And betrayal was part of God's plan. Joseph was cast into a pit. And one of the things I noticed about the life of Joseph is that there were a lot of things that had to happen before he could truly be exalted into an incredible position under God. And friends, there's often a lot of downward places we have to be at long before God can fulfill the purposes he's put in our lives. Because Joseph was too puffed up with these dreams and with self-importance and with being the favourite that God had to deflate that pride to produce humility that leads to promotion. God cannot exalt proud people. Because if proud people get exalted, it goes to their heads. And they're just power hungry. And there's no compassion. And above all, there's no glory to God. It's only when someone humble is produced and promoted that God gets true glory. Because the person who's been exalted recognizes it weren't him that got him there. It was God. And so Joseph had to go into a pit and then later a prison. Then after that, he would be betrayed again by Potiphar's wife. He'd be given false accusation. And all of these things had to happen in order for God to do his work in Joseph's life. It's often through pain and through difficulty that true growth happens, isn't it? We don't like it to be that way, but that is the way. Because you don't really truly grow when you're on the mountaintop, when everything's going well. True character, spiritual maturity, and fortitude is grown in the adverse conditions of life. So Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, and he was forsaken by his brothers. And he was sold to the Midianites, who would have taken him to Egypt. And yet, the amazing thing about this is, friends, is that the moment that he was betrayed and he was delivered to the Midianites was actually sovereignly God's diverting him into his plan. He was bang smack in the center of God's will for his life. Because God needed Joseph to get to Egypt. And God needed Joseph to learn many valuable lessons that would give him great wisdom in years to come when he had leadership. But he was forsaken, but never of God. I want you to know that, friends, that when people betray you, when people hurt you, there's always one who never forsakes you. No matter what everyone else is saying about you or trying to do to harm you, there is one who always loves you. Jesus Christ has promised to never leave or forsake his people. He walks with us through the adversity of life. Paul knew this. In 2 Timothy 4:17, he said, "At my first offence, no one stood with me. All forsook me, but the Lord stood with me." Friends, that will always be the case. But the Lord will stand with you. No matter how painful it is, the Lord is with you. It's one of the amazing things I keep on seeing time and time again in the life of Joseph. You read, "But God was with him." And it has that "but" there because it's such a difficult time. It's like, what's going on? But God was with him. He was cast into prison, but God was with him. He was sold into slavery, but God was with him. Friends, God is with his people. He's with you. In every moment of every day. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a God who is with us. He's not afar off. He's not up there watching and observing our lives and the difficulties that we go through. He's there. He's there in the tears, in the pain, in the hurt. He's there. Like he was with Job, like he was with all of his children, God is there. He's an ever faithful God. And he'll bring you through. That's one of the promises in Joseph's life. He will bring you through. And so we can learn a lot from Joseph. And Joseph, friends, is a type of Christ. He's a type of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth for a special purpose. As God's Son to save sinners. And he, as we know, was forsook at this greatest moment of need. All of his followers, all of his disciples, forsook him. And he was betrayed with a kiss. And his life was considered to one man 30 pieces of silver. And yet this was a man who had walked with him and heard him and followed him. And he was betrayed. And like Joseph's robe was stripped off him and he was cast into a pit, Jesus, friends, was stripped of all dignity when he died for our sins on the cross. And so what does this mean? Well, it means exactly this, that we have a Saviour who knows, has great understanding, is there with full compassion. And in fact, we have a Saviour in Jesus who has endured more, suffered more, been through more than any of us will ever go through. So that when we call on him, he's there. He's there. He is an ever-present help, the psalmist says, in times of trouble. So how can we learn from Joseph's life? I've got three simple B's, not the buzzing ones. We must believe. We must believe that God is in control. As we've heard this morning, it was wonderful to hear, God is sovereign. For those of you who may not know what sovereign means, we call our Queen sovereign. She's in charge. She's in control. She has authority. But much higher, friends, it says of Jesus Christ in Ephesians, I love it, it says, far above all. I love that. It doesn't just say he's above all things. He says he's far above all. He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He has been given a name above every name. He is the great sovereign, almighty God and Saviour. He's in control, friends. In Psalm 2, it says that he sits on his throne and he laughs in derision at the schemes of wicked men that seek to overthrow his purposes. God is not in a panic right now at the state of Great Britain or at the world. He's not thinking, oh, we better go to plan B. He's in control. He's sovereign. And friends, his purposes will come to pass. And he will get the glory due unto his name. Because he's God. Nothing fazes him. Nothing surprises him. Nothing is unknown to him. He's Almighty God. So we must believe that God is in control. We must believe that his ways are perfect. That song that you sing, you're a good, good father. Doesn't it say something? You're perfect in all of your ways. He's perfect in all of his ways, friends. Yes, the ways of pain. Yes, the ways of difficulty. Yes, the trials. He's perfect in all of his ways. And he is producing maturity in you. He's producing maturity. You know, my pastor was saying the other day, he was talking about revival. And he was talking about when God moves in power, he can save multitudes in a moment. And often he said the most timely work is getting his people ready. It's not the revival, it's not the outpouring of the Spirit. You think of Peter, 3,000 souls saved in one sermon. When God, friends, wants to, he can do more in one sermon than he can in 10,000 sermons in your own strength. Often the work that takes the longest is getting us ready. Is stripping away at the flesh. And the pride. And the brokenness that we find ourselves in. And maturing us. And moulding us. You see, look at Peter as an example of all the things that Jesus had to work by his grace in the life of Peter. But friends, on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up full of the Holy Ghost, he was a different man. To the one that said, "I'll never betray you, Lord. I'll never forsake you." And that's often the case. It is with Joseph. It took 12 years for Joseph to come from a boy to a man of God. 12 painful years. 12 difficult years. But you must believe, friends, that God is working for your betterment, for your good and for his glory. He loves us too much to keep us as we are. The Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory. We're being conformed into the image of his Son. So we must believe. We must believe that all these things will work together for good. Romans 8:28. We must believe God's dreams that he's given you when they seem far away. One of the encouragements I read of Joseph's life is that no matter what came against him, to bring those dreams to far distant reality, God brought them to pass. Whether his brothers tried to kill him, whether he was cast into a prison and forgotten, friends, God never forgets his promises. He never forgets the things he's spoken over your life. He will bring to pass what he has promised. You do not need to worry. God has his ways. So we must believe. We must be different. It's so easy, isn't it, to be on autopilot. When someone hurts you, what do you want to do? You want to hurt them. When someone betrays you, what do you want to do? You want to betray them. Why? Because that's the carnal nature. That's the flesh response. That's the sinful nature in us that says, well, you've hurt me, I'm going to hurt you more. But the work of grace and the work of the Spirit, friends, is to be different. You see, being a Christian takes a lot of character. To be like Jesus is no stroll in the park. Be different, friends. Endure. Paul tells Timothy, endure suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure and be patient and be kind to others. And lastly, you'll be changed. You'll be changed. Because when God deals with his people, there's always a purpose in mind. When God brings you into the valley, it's always that he might bring you into a higher mountaintop. That he might bring you into more of his glory. That he might reveal more of himself to you. That he might use you in greater measure to help and bless others. Isn't that one of the amazing things about the hardships that we go through? Is when later in life someone comes along our path and you're like, I know what you're going through. I've been there. But God will see you through. Or when you speak to someone, you know, I can often tell the difference between people that are speaking just by head knowledge to people that are speaking from heart experience. Because they can give you all the right scriptures and they can tell you all the right things, but the man or the woman that's been through the pain of that situation, they speak to you and it's real. There's empathy, there's compassion, there's tender heart. And that's what God wants to do, friends. He wants to change us. For us to reach this broken world, sometimes we have to go through broken experiences. To truly minister the love of Christ out there, friends, we have to go through hardships. and to truly be the people that God wants us to be. Peter says, the trying of your faith being much more precious than gold. It's not real faith unless it's tested and tried and proved. And friends, that's what we can learn from Joseph for us today. That we must believe, we must be different, and ultimately we must be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for how we can learn many things from your word. And I do pray, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to be the people that you want us to be. To be more and more like Jesus. He is the great example in all of his ways. So, Lord, whatever your people are going through right now, if it's valleys of difficulty and pain, Lord, I pray that they will know your promise, that you are with them. When they walk through the fires, when they go through the floods, Lord, that you are with them. And Lord, that you will bring them through. I pray that these series of Joseph, Lord, would be a blessing to this people, that they would learn more of your love and of your faithfulness, of your sovereignty and power, and more of the people that you desire them to be. And it's for your glory and for your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.